And Job chapter number 13, verse number 6, I think I've already read it. Hear now my reasoning, hearken to the pleading of my lips. Verse number 8, will ye contend for God? And so I'm just going to preach contending for a move of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, we need you tonight, Lord. We need you tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I worship you, Jesus.
Amen. Would somebody touch the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we praise you and exalt you, God. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. My mind goes back to Paul writing unto Timothy, and he told Timothy, he said, my departure is at hand. I'm sitting in a jail cell somewhere, knowing that it would not be long before they would come to take his life. Reading a little bit about Paul this week, something came and stood out to me. Paul in a jail and writing a lot of the Pauline epistles unto churches and unto ministers of the gospel. But yet his vision never dimmed. And I'm not talking about his eyesight, which many people say that he had some type of eye vision problems. But his spiritual vision never dimmed. And his goal and his passion was to go to Rome and to preach the gospel. And being in prison for years, his vision and his goal was to go to Rome and to preach the gospel. And didn't matter what come his way, shipwreck, prison, things, he yet stayed passionate about his goal. And I think that what stands out is that he never allowed his current circumstances to, I'm sure that he had bad days, but he did not allow his current circumstances to dictate his vision. He didn't allow his circumstances to dim his vision. He had a vision. He had a goal. He had a passion. He had a dream, and he was set to do what he needed and desired to do. And so time would come and time would go, and he could have sat in prison, and he could have gotten depressed, and he could have stated, well, you know what, I tried, but it didn't work out, and so here I am. And he could have accepted his circumstance. But throughout his entire ministry and his life, his passion was to continue to the fulfillment of his goal, his dream, to go to Rome, to preach the gospel, to give his testimony. Even when he wrote his letter to the church in Rome, he told him, he said, I desire to come to you. And so I thought, you know, how often it is that we can feel an unction of the Spirit. We can feel the moving of the Spirit, and we can feel excitement in a situation. We can have somebody pray through on a Sunday night, and we can bring a zeal and an excitement on Wednesday night. But give it just a couple of weeks, and it seems like the passion and the zeal of most is going to digress and to go down. And the only thing that seems to keep that passion and that burning desire there would be the continuation of people receiving the Holy Ghost, of people being saved, and of people being baptized. And so I think that it is important that we not allow current circumstances and situations to dictate our spiritual mood, to dictate our manner of worship, our enthusiasm that we would possess in church. And instead of being a church or a people that has highs and lows, that we would begin to get on an even keel, understanding that there's going to be times of that you're going to feel the low. But instead of it being extreme lows and having to recline to the heights to have extreme heights, what about we just keep it even and experience in lows, but experience in highs, but on a continual progression of elevation of going higher and higher and higher. Amen. And I think that that is my entire message here tonight. I'm not done, but somebody said, oh man, I just couldn't wrap my hands and my mind around some of this, and so I understand what we have felt and what we have accomplished. I understand what it seems like we have lost, and it seems the lows that we have experienced. And we have to come to the place that the Bible teaches us that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. We cannot help people's decisions. We can try to influence them to come. We can try to influence them not to leave. But ultimately, we live in America, and everybody has the choice. But it's got to be the mentality and the body, the mind of the body of Christ, that no matter what comes our way, God is still good. Well, I said God is still good. Amen. We don't have to be spitting and screaming. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joshua. We don't have to be spitting and screaming and slobbering and hollering and stuff like that. Amen. To appreciate the sentence that God is still good. I don't care if you go to work tomorrow and you lose your job. God is still good. And you've got to have that mentality that no matter what comes my way, I'm still going to praise His name. Job would even say that though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do it. And so he did that. I am keenly aware of the hedge that the enemy told the Lord. He said, but you've got a hedge that is built around Job. And if you remove that hedge, then he'll curse you. He'll walk out from you. Book of Proverbs tells us that he that breaks the hedge, the serpent shall bite him. And so we can picture that there is a hedgerow. It's not necessarily a complete circumference around us, even though it is. But there is lines on the left and lines on the right. And these are the boundaries that you and I know to abide in. And so we walk within these boundaries. And we have a revelation that if we walk in the light, as John said, 1 John chapter number 1, he said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, number one, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. Praise the Lord. And so as long as we walk in this light, We walk in the truth. We walk in the boundaries, the hedges on the either side. Then we know that, the blessings of God is going to be upon us. We don't have time to get into it, but that's Bible. The Bible said that He daily loads us with benefits. He said that if He knows how to take care of the sparrows, and if He knows how to take care of the lilies, and take a look at that and see that the lilies, they don't toil, and but yet there's none that's more beautiful than them. And the sparrows, you don't see them out there with signs that says, we'll work for food. God takes care of every one of them. Amen. He takes care of them. And He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father take care of you in the times of need? Praise God. You just got to learn how to trust Him. Amen. You got to learn how to trust God. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, you're going to have to trust Him when you can't trace Him. And you're going to have to rely on His character when you don't understand His methods. Amen. By just having an understanding of who that God is. But if I break the hedge, then the serpent is going, I'm going to feel the sting of the serpent's bite. I'm going to feel the sting of sin when I break the hedge. Amen. But thank God that He is an all-forgiving God and that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. And we can come before Him and confess our sins before Him. And He is just and able to forgive us of all of our sins. Thank God for that. Amen. Let's worship Him and thank Him for that. Thank you, Jesus. And you see that the Bible says that if God be for us, then who can be against us? God is for you. God wants you to make it. The Bible teaches us that it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God does not want you to be lost. God does not want me to be lost. Therefore, God is not standing over you with a hammer, amen, waiting for you to mess up so that He can bing you in the head, amen, and say, go on to hell. Amen. But His blood is thick. His forgiveness is true. His mercy is everlasting. And He is just and ready and willing to forgive those that come back. Amen. And ask for forgiveness. Praise God. He's ready to save the lost. He's ready to save, amen, to the Bible. Hebrews said, unto the uttermost. Amen. God is ready to reach into the deepest and the lowest gutters of society and pull up those that are bound in the wretchedness of sin. God is ready to wash the filth and the grime of the world off. God is ready to erase the mind, the conscience, amen, of guiltiness that is there. And God is ready to give you robes of righteousness and put a ring of the family authority upon you. Amen. Put His name upon you and give you more than you ever thought you could have. More than you dreamed about. God wants to be good to you. Praise God. God wants to be good to us. Amen. He wants to be good to us. It was the desire of God to be good to Job. And we began to take a look at Job's life. We see that God was good to Job. Amen. God loved Job. And Job loved God. And Job had a beautiful family. And Job had all kinds of animals. And he had houses. And he had land. And he had a wife. Amen. He had a children. said all of these things, and here comes the end. I want you to understand, amen, what is going on. There is a relationship between God and Job. Amen. They're loving each other. God loving Job. Job loving God. Amen. And there is one that is envious of all of this called Satan. And Satan is set to wreck the relationship that Job is going to have with God. Amen. Satan, amen, can't stand the relationship that God has with Job, that Job has with God. And so he is destined and purposed to try to destroy it. And so he shows up with the sons of men. Amen. And he begins to... He begins to question, and he comes before the Lord, and the Lord asks him, he said, where have you been? He said, well, I've been running to and fro. And then he said, you know, what's your agenda here? And he said, well, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Amen. You know what? God was not caught by surprise, but I believe that there was a God that was in heaven that was watching Satan eye Job. Amen. Watching the enviness, amen, that Job had, the jealousy that Satan had, the jealousy that Satan had, amen, toward Job and his relationship with God, amen. And here's God, amen, he wasn't questioning because he didn't know, he was questioning, amen, with a cause, amen. He said, you've been considering my servant Job? There's none that's like him, is there? He's perfect in all of his ways, amen. And the devil looked at God and said, does Job fear you for naught? Amen. But I tell you what, if you would take that hedge off of him, he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, I tell you what, I know Job, and he's not going to do that. And you can't touch him, but you can touch everything that he has. In other words, you can touch everything that I have given him, and you're going to see that he still loves me. And so that's what happened. And Job lost his children. And Job lost houses. And Job lost cattle. And Job lost a lot of things. And here is Job, amen, not understanding what's going on. Amen. And Satan seeing that he cannot get him. And so he goes back and he tells God. He said, I'm telling you what, if you'll take that hedge off of him and let me touch him, he'll curse you to his face. And the Lord said, all right, I tell you what, I'll take the hedge from him, and you can touch his body, but you cannot take his life. Why? Because God is the giver of life. God is the taker of life. Amen, amen, amen. And so that's exactly what happened. And the devil touched Job's body, and he has boils all over him. And there he is, and he's scraping those boils at the broken pots. And there's his friends coming, and they're wondering, Job, what did you do wrong? Because it's very obvious that you have done wrong. I feel the Lord talking to us tonight. It's very obvious that you've done something wrong, Job, because if you were living like you were supposed to be living, all of these things wouldn't be happening to you. If you were living right and you didn't have sin in your life, Job, then you'd have all of your kids, and you'd still have your cattle, and you'd still have your health. But it's obvious to us, Job, you've done something wrong. You made God mad. And then here's Job's wife looking at Job and saying, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job will say, you know what, you talk like a foolish woman. Naked I came into the world. Naked I'm going out of the world. Though God slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. What Job was saying is, I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand what everything in life is going. I don't understand why it's happening. I don't understand what is happening. But I still understand that even on a bad day, God is good. Job, why don't you throw in the towel and back off and quit? Amen. Job said, oh, no, I'm contending for God. I'm going to fight for this relationship that I have. That's the problem with America. That's the problem with marriages in this day. When something goes wrong, everybody wants to throw it out the door. Amen. They want to holler divorce. They want to separate and go their way. That's not the way that God looks at you. God's not looking to throw you to the side. God's not looking to get
rid of you. God's looking for you to make it. God's looking to help you. God's going to be there when you call on him. The Bible said he's as close as the mention of his name. God is for you. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost so you could just feel goosebumps on top of goosebumps. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost to show you what kind of hypocrite that you could be, so that you could be a backslider somewhere. God filled you with the Holy Ghost so that you can make it. Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of his glory. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think it's in order to give him some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. David had that revelation. He said, when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, my steps had well nigh slipped. I almost caved in. I almost quit. I almost walked out. I almost threw in the towel. But I came back to church one more time. And when I got into the house of God, I understood therein. They're the ones that's on slippery times. They're the ones that does not have a hope. Amen. They're just living here and there. They don't have a God that can help them. They are in fickle situations. But here I am in the house of God. And if he takes everything that I have, I still have God. I still have salvation. I still have hope. I still have the hope of heaven for eternity. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you. Be seated. Amen. And that's just the way that it's been. I want you to know that that's the way that it is. And it's not necessarily because you come to this church. Amen. Even though the devil is interested when you begin to go to a truth-preaching church. If you're going to a church that doesn't preach truth, the devil doesn't care because he already has you. If you go to a church, amen, where they're still sinning, and they're committing sin and everything and calling out for mercy and calling out, we're just saved by grace and still doing what they do, amen, the devil doesn't care about that. That's a lie that the devil sold the religious world for $1.50 on a Walmart special, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. Amen, but the devil does care about a church that'll stand up and preach against sin. Devil does care about a church, amen, that stands up and preaches about Jesus' name baptism. Preaches about being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Preaches the oneness of God. Preaches holiness within and without which no man shall see. That's who the devil, amen, is concerned about. And when you came into a truth-preaching church, the devil painted a bullseye on you, just like he painted on Job. And he said, I'm going to do my best to get you to curse God and to walk out of the church. And circumstances have come, and situations have come, and opportunities to backslide have come, temptations have come, bitterness has come, but you're still in the church today. What are you doing? You're contending for God. I'm not walking out of this place. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. I'm not about to quit now. God has been good to me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God has been good to me. But you don't get this just because that's what you desire. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs that the sluggard desires but has nothing. You don't get truth by osmosis. You're not going to wake up in heaven and just somehow wonder, whoa, that was pretty cool. I wonder how I got there. But you know how you got there. You fought every day. When you stood up in the morning, you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And you picked up the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. And you went out into the world and you quenched the fiery darts of temptation. temptation as it comes your way, and you pray and you walk with God, and God walked with you. That's the way you got it. That's the way you're going to make it. You've got to contend for God. You can't stop. You can't stop. You don't come to the place and say, well, you know what? I've had salvation for 30 years, so I think that I can sit down and cruise a little bit. Let me tell you, the devil is going to jump on you like a big ugly dog until you die. Every opportunity that he can take, he's going to jump all over you and try to take advantage of that. He's going to wake up. You're going to wake up in the morning with him beating you with an ugly stick. Amen. Telling you, get up. You got things to do. You're busy. You can't do this. Well, I got to go pray. You're too busy to pray. You don't have time to do this. And he fills your day with all kinds of stuff. And you come into the wee hours of the night. Amen. And you're dead tired. And the devil's still slapping you and beating you, saying, oh, you're so tired, just go to bed, just go to bed, just go to bed. Somewhere or another, you gotta get tired of the devil ruling your life. Gotta get tired of the devil telling you what you can do and what you can't do. And you gotta stand up in the face of adversity and say, as for me and my house, we are gonna serve the Lord. Amen. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna seek God. I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna do what needs to be done.
Amen. There's not a person here tonight that has not been fighting hell. But I just want you to know that the devil declared war when this church decided we're going to have revival. When the church says, you know what, we're not going to sit back and just take it easy. We're not going to just use COVID as an excuse. We're not going to do this. We're going to have church. We're going to have revival. I mean, I don't care what everybody else is preaching and teaching. We're going to preach holiness. We're going to preach separation from the world. We're going to preach abstinence. We're going to abstain from the things of this world. We're still going to preach righteousness. We're still going to do what's right and abstain from what is wrong. Amen. We want to be saved. And when we began to reach out and begin to tell other people, and when people started coming in and getting the Holy Ghost, never got stirred up. Devil got mad. Amen. Got his feathers all ruffled up. And he starts coming against you and telling you all kinds of lies. Amen. He's tried to get you through gossip. He's tried to get you through bitterness. He's tried to get you through temptation. He's trying to get you through riches. Amen. Causing you to, amen, be elevated. Amen. And become high and mighty. But you're still here in the house of God. Still plugging away. Still got your shoulders to the plow. Still marching forward. And God is saying, that's my servant. That's my child. Amen. And God is working with you. And God is helping you. I got to tell you something here today. God's going to continue to help you. God's going to continue to walk with you. God's going to continue to go before you. God's going to continue to fight your battles as long as you continue to walk with him. Praise God. The devil's not a respecter of person. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care how long you've had the Holy Ghost or how long you haven't had the Holy Ghost. He's after you. He don't care what your rank and file is. He's coming after you. Anybody. He's the adversary. Walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you've got to be vigilant. And you've got to be sober. And you've got to submit yourself, therefore, to God. And you've got to resist the devil. And he said that he will flee from you. Illness, disease, finances, You name it. You name it. We could all testify about it. I got my bill from the IRS. It's pretty rough, but it didn't make me want to backslide. They told me I owe $10,000 in taxes. I don't have $10,000. So you know what I did? I just prayed about it. Come in and set it before God on an altar and say, "All right, God, you know." And this is what I told the Lord. I said, "Now, God, we believe in being right. And this is what they say that I owe. But I remember in your word where they came up and they said that you owed some taxes. And you told Peter to go fishing. God, I like to fish." I'd love to pull one of those largemouth bass up with a wad of cash in his mouth. Take care of that debt. But what I am saying, God, is you took crazy means to satisfy debts. I know that you know how to do it. If you could do it back then, I know you can do it today. And so, God, it's in your hands. It's all there. It's for you, God. And you know what? I still don't have $10,000. But God does. I don't know when he's going to give it to me, but he's got it. And it's all going to be okay. And then my car broke down. And then my house flooded. And then the store flooded. What else? Hot water heater broke and won't work. Haven't had hot water since last Tuesday night. Cold showers are horrible. Oh, yeah, I got a tree that's going to fall on my neighbor's house. So I called somebody to cut it down. They told me they cut it down for $1,500. Well, I know you got the same stories. You got worse stories. But it doesn't make us want to quit. It doesn't make us want to backslide and walk out. What it's made me do is say, "Well, I'm just going to take all this to the Lord in prayer. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's going to take care of it." And every day I'd go out there and get in my car, and I got the car fixed. Get in my car and go down there, and lo and behold, Jesus help us. $4.59 for gas? What is this world coming to? And now people are having to decide, do I go to work or do I go to church? People have to decide, what am I going to do? I don't have all the answers. But I am going to tell you that if you forsake God, don't be cursing God when everything goes wrong. Don't be blaming God when everything goes wrong. God wants to help. But he needs somebody that's ready to walk on water. He needs somebody that's going to contend for God. Gonna contend for God. I'm almost done. I just got one more thing that I want to bring about here today. And it's the same in the church. When the church accrues certain levels, amen, the debt that is ground that is taken, amen, from the devil. And the devil loves to come into churches and to bind churches up. He loves to come into a place and take worship out of a church. But a few weeks ago, amen, we took that ground. And the devil's not just going to back up and say, "Well, I tried." No. He's going to regroup his forces and he's coming back for that ground. He doesn't give up easy. But God doesn't give up easy either, and it belongs all to him.
And so the devil is going to come in. He's going to try to suppress, the services. He's going to try to push down the services. He's going to try to dumb the services down. He's going to try to create confusion in the music department. Amen. He's going to create tiredness here and there. And he's going to cause you to feel like, amen, well, it's just Wednesday night. I'll just take it easy. Amen. And the whole time, the devil's just taking it back one inch at a time. Amen. Pushing and shoving and trying to hold. Somebody's got to get tired of it. And somebody's got to say, no, God gave this to us, and we're going to contend for the move of God. We're going to contend for what God has given us. And if God has given this unto us, then we're going to stand fast. We're going to be unmovable. Amen. And we're going to fight for the things that God has given unto us. The liberty that God has given us in worship, we're not going to give that up easy. Amen. We're going to make sure that we're worshiping God like we need to worship. Amen. Just a couple of weeks ago in the pre-service prayer, the Holy Ghost broke through this place and we stepped up again. Amen. In the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost moved through the entire service, showing us what we could have, what we can have. Amen. It's up to the church. Do we want to remain there or do we want to step back down? I got a feeling that somebody here is saying, I'm not willing to step back down. I want to see what's next. Amen. And somebody he's going to say, but you know what? The devil's going to come in and pre-service prayer, and he's going to try to dumb it all down, trying to quiet it all down, trying to hush it all up. But somebody's got to contend for God. Somebody's got to stand up and say, oh, no, 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 no. We haven't come this far to stop now. We haven't come this far to give it up now. We're going forward. We're going ahead. We're going to push. We're going to contend for everything that God would have for us. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. The preacher came Sunday night and he said, you know how revival's going to come? You got to get it out of the box. You got to get into the highways, into the byways. You got to start inviting people. You got to witness to them. You got to teach Bible studies. But there's a big ugly spirit that's saying over my dead body. But I believe that there's a church that is saying, oh no, we've come too far to back up now. We want revival. We want to see revival. We want to experience revival. Thank God for those that have received the Holy Ghost here of late. But we gotta see somebody else receive the Holy Ghost. Let's stand here tonight. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to say, well, some say that thou art Elias or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He said, okay, but who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, I got a revelation. Thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the prophesied one of the Old Testament. That's who you are. Amen. He got a revelation and he knew what he was hooked into and what he was getting a hold of. Amen. And Jesus looked at all of them and he said, upon this revelation, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That does not mean that the gates of hell, that does not mean that the church is going to stand and that the gates of hell cannot withstand or to come through and overpower the church. That's not what that means. What it means is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That when the church begins to push against it, when the church goes out, amen, to break through it, the gates of hell cannot withstand the church pushing against it. The gates of hell have got to step back and allow the church to go and to reach into the pit of hell and to give somebody hope and to pull them out and bring them back into the church under salvation. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. God's given us the power to go forth. Amen. God's given us the power, amen, to prevail. Amen. God's put it in the church. Amen. Church, don't be afraid. Don't buckle down. Don't hunker. You don't have to hunker down. I know there's times that you feel like that's what we got to do. But we've got to remember to be offensive instead of just defensive. Well, hopefully the devil don't take very much more. Amen. That cannot be our mindset. Our mindset's got to be, we got to go get another one. We got to get another one. Amen. There's more 8-year-olds out there that need the Holy Ghost. There's more little Henry 12-year-olds out there that need the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's others out there that need the Holy Ghost. But they're not going to have it if the church just, amen, gets quiet and says, oh, if we can just survive until Jesus comes. That's not the mentality of it. Amen. God said, it's not my will that any should perish. I need a church that's willing to contend for a move of God. I need a church that's willing to pray. You say, I can't play music. I cannot sing. I can't, but can you pray? If you can pray, you're better than the piano players. You're better than the bass player. You're better than any musician. If you know how to touch the throne of God, we need prayer warriors in this day and time. People that know how to pray. Diligent about praying. God, he's going to answer and come through. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, God's ready to bless you. God's ready to come through. Some of you fighting things. Some of you going through things in life. Seems like all hell has opened up unto you. I'm telling you, hold on to the hand of God. Hold on to the hand of God. Let God work it out. Amen. The Bible still says all things work together for the good. Let God take care of it. Let God fight your battle. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You may not understand it. Amen. Job didn't understand it. You may not know why. Job didn't know why. You may not know how. Job didn't know how. Amen. You may not know anything about it, how it's going to get better. Job didn't even have a promise that it was going to get better. But when it was all said and done, Job had twice as much as he ever had. I'm not telling you that God's going to give you twice as much, but if God gives you salvation, if God saves your soul, if God brings you through it, and you make heaven your home, it'd still be a good day if you went through life as a pauper, but made it up on the streets of gold into heaven for eternity. Amen. It's definitely going to be worth it. God is still good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, better days are ahead. I didn't say easier days, I said better days are ahead. Hallelujah, weeping only lasts for a moment, joy is going to come in the morning time. Amen, I just got a feeling, I just got a feeling, I just got a feeling that God's got something in store. Amen, but there's got to be a church that's got to press forward.